Principle number 8. Cognitive therapy is based on an educational model. The reluctant client may argue with you or tune out what you are saying. When I spot this problem, I find I, like you, need to address it. Here's how. I ask Lori, a 15-year-old student who was suffering anxiety regarding peer pressure, if she had ever been in a class where she made up her mind that she was not going to let the teacher teach her anything. I then ask Lori to compare this experience with the class where she gave the teacher permission to teach her. Part of this problem is related to the amount of trust Lori had in me. I set up a system of feedback from her. The second step, I ask Lori how she would benefit by allowing herself to learn. Thus, in summary, the two techniques I used, asking for feedback more often than I would with another client, and exploring in detail how she might benefit from learning. For example, one 35-year-old man, John, lived with his mother and had only a few dates in his life. He needed to learn ways to deal with the opposite sex. However, my colleague, who was a male therapist, focused first on how to learn. John had to go to places where he could meet women, but with the goal of learning as much about his reaction as possible. He first had to find out how he was preventing himself from learning his experiences. Thus, you might take a second now and perhaps turn the tape player off in a minute and think of a client that you have who's resistant to learning, and how you might have them do an intermediate or beginning exercise to explore their reaction to their resistance. I found I need to help the client learn how to remove or transcend the blocks that have prevented him or her from learning from experiences. Principle number 9. The theory and techniques of cognitive therapy rely on the inductive method. In other words, the emphasis throughout therapy is on the client getting the facts. Principle number 10. Homework, of course, is a central feature of cognitive therapy. The therapist should explain to clients the practical reasons, of course, for doing the homework. The reason I give is that once a week visits are insufficient for overcoming long-held anxieties. Further, the rationale for particular assignments I find has to be explained, because clients are unlikely to carry them out, I'm sure as you found too, if there is any doubt about their potential usefulness. I like to present a homework assignment as sort of an experiment to prove or to disprove a hypothesis, such as the client's belief that a traumatic experience will occur if he faces a fearful situation. Question number 3. What is one method to motivate a client to do homework?